Please stand up as we open God's Word, the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, verse number 18. Genesis, chapter number 2, and verse number 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be left alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Father, in Jesus' name, give me unction to preach your word now, Lord. Come down into this house. In thy name we pray. And amen. You can be seated. What you read in the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, goes back to the beginning of time as far as man is concerned. To the very beginnings, the origins, the time of newness and freshness, the time when there was nothing else but just God and man. And there's something about this text when I read it that strikes me as being real personal. It's as if the Almighty had a personal interest in Adam and what Adam thought and how he would react. And so he brought the animals to him. He brought the beast to Adam. He didn't take Adam to the beast. He brought them to him. As if you would bring into the presence of a king those of his domain. He brought to Adam every beast of the field, and then what Adam called them, that would be the name thereof. This is quite a remarkable thing when you think about the fact that the Lord God wanted to know what Adam would say. "What will you say now that my creation is brought before thee?" And so the Bible says that Adam named these creatures, and whatever you could find in Hebrew for the name of all the living things on the face of the earth, that's the original name of whatever it is. I know we call things by the names that's been passed down to us, but find the Hebrew name for the creature and you'll find the name that Adam gave it, and that's what it's called to this day. What a marvelous thing when you can think about on the face of the earth, there's not another living man to be found anywhere but just here in this garden. And here in this garden, it is Adam and it is the Lord God. And the Lord God wants this personal feeling from Adam to let him know that even though I made it, I want to see what you think about it. And what are you going to call it? And there are those today who walk about in God's creation. They go from one end of it to the other and they marvel at the creation. My, how beautiful it can be and how beautiful it is. But when you think about the fact that everything that you see, that your eyes have ever seen in your lifetime, it comes under the taint of sin. It's been touched because of the fall. It does not bear its original beauty. There must have been here in the book of Genesis beauty beyond description. Wildest imagination and dream could never touch what Adam himself saw. But do you realize that the first thing Adam saw when God brought him into this world was God's face? He looked into the eyes of the one that had just made him. His breath was now coursing throughout his body, and he was breathing the very breath of God. Can you imagine that when Adam came into existence, that the only one that he had any knowledge of was the Lord God himself? There can be no closer relationship between two than that God had intended for his man. He made him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Then he made the animal creation and brought them to Adam and said, "Now tell me what you're going to call them, and that'll stick from here on out. It'll never be changed. That's what they'll be." It's as if God said, "Now Adam, I've created for you a vast empire, a great kingdom, a world lies before you, and it's all yours. Go out and take dominion of it over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and upon every living thing that walketh upon the earth." It's yours, Adam. All you have to do is go out and take dominion. My, my, my. What a God we serve. He's the greatest giver there ever was or ever will be. He gives, he gives, he gives. Sometimes we return and respond in the gift that he's given us. And so Adam, the Bible said, the Lord said, "Well, it's not good for you to be alone. I'm God and I am, my friend. He's all that we could ever ask for. But he's not a woman. And so the Lord took a rib from the side of Adam and made the woman. Created the woman, brought her to the man. He brought the woman to the man as he'd brought all the animals. Because the man was the crowning point, achievement of his creation. And Adam called her Eve and said, this shall be the mother of all living. And so what a marvelous relationship. Born of God. God made the first marriage that this earth ever knew. And he brought the woman to the man. And they settled down and had a home. Amen. God created the home for a man and his wife. And so it was. And so it ever shall be. Regardless of any perversion that you've had to deal with in this old world. What a grand thing it had to be. For they had God as the creator. His creation to live in. And a marriage that was literally made by the hand of God. What a marvelous thing. But they sinned. They rebelled and fell from God. They fell away from him. And when they did, the Bible said that God put a cherubim to keep the way to the tree of life. And lest they eat of it and live condemned forever. And my friend, they don't want that. God would not have it to be so. And so he stopped them from being able to do that. Thank God he did. I'm glad for God's mercy and his grace and his foresight to do something like that before we ever even knew it happened. God had already made a way. And as I read that Bible, I find out time and again how God, over and over and over again, he comes to man. He came to him there when they needed a Savior in Egypt, and he gave them Moses. And he appeared to Moses on top of the mountain, and he gave him the law of God. He, my friend, is the one who's been coming to man ever since we've been on this earth 2,000 years ago. He came to man again. Heaven opened up, and the greatest gift that heaven could give, the very treasure of heaven itself, came down among men. And there on a cross 2,000 years ago, he gave his life for us. God truly is a giver. He's always made the initiative. He's been the one to come and give what we need and who we need. He's been coming to us. He spread before you a creation, and there are those out there today that enjoy it. They go to the fields, they go to the lakes, they go to the mountains, and they go to their jobs. They go about and they enjoy his creation. They eat his food. They breathe his air. They live under his sun. But my friend, they don't ever stop for a moment and think that there must be something greater than the creation. There's got to be a creator if there is a creation. But my friend, it's good enough for them. It's good enough for them to enjoy the creation. They care not about the one who created the creation. And God has set it out for what you see today. It's a marvelous thing indeed, because out of this creation there are those that lift their head into heaven and they begin to thank the Creator. They come out from the midst of the people and say, I will not be like the rest around me. I will thank the Creator. In the Old Testament, he gave them a tabernacle, and he said that tabernacle was to be pitched outside the camp of Israel. And he said, any man who wants to come to that tabernacle, he can come of his own free will. He never one time ever drove a man. He never one time ever made a man. He never one time ever forced a man to come to him. He opens the door and gives the invitation and says, if you'd like to learn more, you can come to me. You've breathed this air. How about breathing his life? You've eaten his food. How about that manna that came down from heaven? You've walked around in the land of the dying. How about lifting your head to the land of the living? And the Bible, promise after promise after promise, is established upon a blood covenant. God has all kinds of promises. He has more promises, my friend, than I could preach on for a year. And all of these promises are based upon the one who's able to carry forth when he says he'll do something. And the promises are spread before us. The guarantee is there. And it's up to us to embrace the promise, take hold of it, and not be denied the promise of God. We come together today and we call it Mother's Day, and that's good, especially if you've got a good, godly mother, a Christian mother, one that loves the Lord, one that gathered her children around her and prayed with them and taught them the Bible. I've heard testimony time and again from people who say, preacher, if it hadn't been for
my dear mother, I would never have known the Lord. And my friend, I'm glad for that. Isn't that a good thing? That's a wonderful testimony. Mothers, my friend, have a very special place in the heart of their children. It's a place that nobody else can take. And that's all good. But let me tell you something. We'd have no godly mothers without the gift of God. The mothers are God's, are godly because God gave us mothers. He gave us the first mother when he brought Eve to Adam. And he said, replenish the earth and populate it and fill it full. And men have done that unquestionably. And so God ordained the home. He established it the way we see it, the way we know it. And I'm thankful for the home. As long as the home stands, the country stands. As long as the home stands, society stands. Let the home go belly up and there'll be nothing left to fight for. Amen. So as long as you have a home, you've got the blessed promise of God. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. 2,000 years ago when Christ went to that cross and gave himself, he died upon a tree and was buried, and he rose again the third day and ascended to the right hand of the Father and extended an invitation to every one, last one of us that live on this earth. And he said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn it. Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. We don't see too many take up that promise. We don't see too many answer that call. But for those that do, God has something in store for them that is beyond their wildest imagination. For God Almighty to come into your life is to give you life indeed. You shout and you rejoice and you say, why didn't I happen? Why didn't I do this before? It's because you're enjoying the life of God. You look about those and say, I would that they knew the Lord. You pray that they'd understand what you know, but they don't know him. The world is full of people that have never met him. They don't know him, and the truth is they never will know him. Oh, they got a head full of religion. They know a lot of facts. They know a lot about God, but they don't know God. But oh, if you just knew the one that I'm preaching this morning, if you could just understand something about the God that I preach. He tasted death for every man. He tasted it for you, dear friend. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. Christ went to the cross for you. You say, I'm the sorriest dregs of society. Make any difference? You don't know what I've done, preacher. Make any difference? Christ died for you. The Bible said this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh yes, of whom I am chief. There's a place in this world you can't find, but the door is open. There's a place of holiness you can search your life and never find, but the invitation is there. There's a reality and truth and life that you've never experienced, but it's the free gift of God. Where is that, preacher? You tell me where that place is, and I'll come running to it. It's the arms of Jesus, dear friend. It's a place that you can't explain. It's a mystical place, but it's a real place. It's wondrous and marvelous because it is the invitation to the sinner to be saved, to be born again, to come to God. He's come. He will come. He'll come again. He will come again. But my friend, what's more important is that one that'll go to him. He said, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man open that door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. It's that Bible invitation. If the Bible is full of invitations, even the last chapter of the Holy Bible, ending up God's word, says this. The bride says, come. He that is athirst, let him come. If you're hungry, you can come and take the water of life freely. Oh, what an invitation. What an invitation. Imagine, friend, 2009, the kind of lives that people live today. In your face lives. Ungodly lives. Yet the invitation is still open. The door is still open. The blood is still powerful. God is still in heaven. Christ is still at the right hand of the Father, and salvation is freely given to all. I guess I could go back in my lifetime somewhere in my lineage and genealogy, and I could find a grandmother or a great-grandmother or a great-great-grandmother that was on her face praying for her grandchildren, and God answered that prayer, because I'm before you today. wasn't my mother. She didn't have a clue. But the one before her did, and the one before her did, and the one before her did. I believe every one of us are an answer to prayer. Oh, yes, I do. I believe a good, godly mother can get a hold of God. I believe a mother's heart is soft and tender. I believe her voice can ring into the very soul of God. God gave her a tenderness, a compassion, a virtue, a thing that reaches God. There's something about her that gets the ear of the Lord. Now, I'm not going to get into Catholicism. I'm not preaching Mary as as an intercessor, because they took it too far. But I'll tell you something, friend. She is the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. She did stand at the cross and watch him die. When all of the disciples ran and fled one to another, Mary was there, along with Mary Magdalene. They stood there, and Mary, another Mary, was at the cross. And only one man out of the whole crowd stayed around at the crucifixion, and that was John the Apostle. Could it be that there's a compassion? Could it be that there's a heart? Could it be that there's a sweetness? Could it be that there's a soul that resides in a mother's breast that a man can never understand? I believe there's something about a mother that wants the best for her children. I believe there's something about a mother that gets a hold of the heart of God, for it's unselfish love. It's a mother's love, giving herself for her children. Ain't that a good thing? It's a good thing. And but my friend, she is what she is because God made her that way. He made her that way. I'll never be a mother. Don't want to try to be a mother. I'm a father. Amen. I relate to God the Father, not to Mary, the mother of Jesus. But you women in here today, when you hold a precious baby in your arms, don't you think about its future? Don't you think about protecting it? Don't you think about what's good for that baby? Don't you want to keep any bad influence away from it? Don't you want to build for its future, lay aside for the day when that little one may walk down an aisle and marry somebody? Well, that's a mother's love and a mother's heart. And I'll tell you something, friend. Somebody a few years back set aside a day as Mother's Day. And some of you have had the greatest mothers that anybody could possibly have. If you want to know the truth about it, I envy you, because I never had that. But I'm sure she had an effect on your life. I'm sure she had a profound effect on your life. I remember a few years ago, a man said to me, he was a city inspector. I was talking to him out here in his parking lot. He was talking about somebody around here that had wiped their mud off of their boots on his mother's gravestone. And you talk about one hot man. You talk about a madman. You talk about somebody ready to go to war. He said somebody had wiped the mud off their boots on my mother's grave. I'll tell you something, folks. If you want to get in trouble, you're going to mess with a man's mother. Amen. You see, there's something about a mother that touches the heart of a son. He'll fight for his mother. Amen. He'll die for his mother. Why, preacher? Because God made it that way. That's why. He made the first marriage. He made the first home. He knew what he was doing. He built it on a mother and a father. Oh, friend, the greatest thing that could be said for anybody in Israel, when you read about the Old Testament ancient Jew, and it was this statement. They didn't look across the kings. They didn't look across the prophets. They didn't look across the great men of war. They went and said, this is what represents you, Israel. If you have this, you have standing with God. What is it, preacher? It is the virgin daughter of Zion. When they went to war, when they stood up and said who they were, they said, the virgin daughter of Zion laughs in your face. Oh, boy. Did you get what I just said? God said, your young women are virgins, coming up the way they should come up. And I will bless your country, because that is the mark of your nation. That is the foundation of your home. The virgin daughter of Zion. Oh boy, did you ever hear of the virgin daughter of Babylon? No, friend. When you read about the daughter of Babylon, you read about a prostitute. But the virgin daughter of Zion, what's that mean, preacher? It means to keep womanhood and motherhood sacred. That's what it means. It means to keep it sacred, keep it pure, keep it the way it ought to be. If Mother's Day stands for anything, it stands for that. And if it doesn't stand for that, it stands for nothing but sentimentality. Just a sentimental time to get together. It's when our children come up and we teach them about the Lord. And we teach our young girls, keep yourself pure till the day when you put on a white gown. Just like the Jews do, friend. I don't know if you know this or not, but a Gentile Christian wedding is so much like a Jewish wedding, it's not funny. And she puts on a white gown, which represents purity. She walks through the door. Her daddy has her by the arm. He carries her down that aisle and presents her. And he looks at that man and said, now I've kept her all her life to this point. Hoss, you better keep her on. For I am entrusting to you my most precious possession. This is my virgin daughter. And boy, I'll tell you what, when I study my Bible, and I know it's uncomfortable, and I know I see a lot of squirming, that's okay. If I was running a popularity contest, I'd quit this and start something else. But I'll tell you right now, when they got married, there was a blood covenant. And there was a blood covenant involved, and it sealed their marriage. And my friend, I'm going to tell you right now, God had a reason for making everything He made about a woman. And that reason goes all the way back to the creation. And that flies in the face of this promiscuous, godless, free sex society. But it's still the truth. And being the truth, it'll give you something to hope for your little girl. Maybe you blew it. Maybe you threw it away. Maybe you made a fool out of yourself. But you don't have to do it again. God give you a little girl. Yeah, he did, preacher. Well, you protect her. You keep her safe. You hold her in your bosom. You watch out for her. You build walls around her. She doesn't belong to the government. She belongs to God. And He loaned her to you. And then when the day comes that you, daddy, take your little girl by the arm and march her down the aisle, you'll be bringing your little virgin daughter, and boy, what a responsibility he has. My! What a gift he's been given. What man would have to be anything but a man, not a boy, a man, to accept a virgin daughter from my daddy? Boy, I tell you, talk about building a society and a home and a foundation. Here's what's wrong with America. We want God on one hand, but we want to live in the jungle on the other. And if we got any mothers in this house over 40 or 50 years old, you mothers know that this preacher is preaching exactly to you what your preacher preached to your mother 50 years ago and 75 years ago, at a time when it was honored and revered. So maybe this morning's Mother's Day would be a good time to reassess what God says about motherhood. You see, mothers, you're special. You carry a little baby in your womb for 9 months. Feel it kick. Hear noises. Know that there's a little human being inside you. It's not you. The little human being is another little human being, different human being inside you. You carry that baby for 9 months. And then at the end of 9 months, the joy of joys, you go down through the valley of death, but life springs forth before you. And the Bible says you forget all about where you've been because of the life that's before you. You got a little baby. You got a little human being. I don't know how you think, but here's the way I would think. When I looked at that little innocent baby,
that little child in my hands, I would say to myself, now I know what I did, and I know how I messed up. I know where I went, and I know how rebellious I was. I don't want that for my daughter or for my son. If Mother's Day means anything, it means that you mothers, and some of you young ladies, are childbearing age, and you'll be bringing more children into this world in the future. If the Lord doesn't come and get us, you'll be bringing babies into this world. This could be a good day for you if you're not where you ought to be with God. It'd be a good day for you to say, Lord, if I have another child, I will give that child to you, and I will raise that baby in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And you know something, ladies? You don't have a clue what kind of pressure you can put on a man. Because you become a godly mother that loves your children, sacrifice for your home, you will preach to that husband louder by living like that than anybody possibly could. And I don't tell you right now, and I'm going to tell you the truth. God puts something in a man to where when that man sees goodness and virtue and cleanliness and sacredness, because the birth of a child is a sacred thing. The God-man came that way. And he sees that in a woman, it brings something out of a man that nothing else can. How many of you men agree with what I'm talking about here this morning? The world's full of prostitutes, but how many mothers does it have that would give themselves for their children? Christian mother, God has given you a wonderful pulpit to preach from. You are preaching with your life. Not words, your life. Father, in Jesus' name, use what I've said this morning now to help folk. God, this may be turnaround day for some of the mothers in this house. But they realize that they may be bearing more children. They got children right now that are so young that they can still start right, do right. They can start with the children they have and begin to teach them and live before them and walk before them the way they know they should. You've given them the great gift of motherhood. Now they can give themselves back to Thee and be more than just a biological baby carrier and become a real mother. In Jesus' name we pray. And for Jesus' sake we ask it. And heads are bowed and nobody looking, eyes are closed. Are there any mothers in this house this morning that say, yes, preacher, I may have more children, and I want to raise them up the way God wants me to raise them up. I want God to give me wisdom. Let God give me some direction here. Let God teach me, show me what I need to do, what kind of a woman, what kind of a mother that I need to be for my children. Would any of you look up here this morning, raise your hand, say, won't you pray for me, preacher? Any of you? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We got young mothers in here raising their hands. Father, in Thy name let Thy blessing fall this morning. Let the sweet Holy Spirit in this house move now, Lord God. Let Him do what He wants to do with this service. I've delivered the message You put upon my heart. Brought forth what You told me to say. Now there are those in here this morning, Lord, they received it. Now, Heavenly Father, let them act upon it, Lord. And glorify Thyself in Thy blessed Son. And thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.